WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
So at Backlash, stuff happened, and we're here to talk about it. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen and support the channel for free. You can use creator code Rockstock in the Fortnite item shop because hashtag epic partner. I am the producer here to talk Backlash. With the intern, Kane Kittens.
Wow. That's what we're supposed to do, right?
You kind of cut out with that one. You peaked.
Flash.
Backlash. Because, you know, that's a thing.
I need to get the mustache, though.
The full on mustache, yeah.
I need the full Hogan / Triple H style mustache.
Yeah, that does it. We also have to talk Backlash, the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WWE.
No. Tim, hold. No.
Wow, peaking.
Wow. So.
What happened?
Loud.
Loud?
Wow.
Loud and crackling. Oh, God, my ears.
Let me turn myself down. Hi, is that any better?
No.
Which way, up or down?
Down.
What's that?
Too low. Your mic is jacked.
Okay, there. How's that?
No, not any.
No.
It's not killing our ears. So that's a. Sorry.
Is it too loud or is it too quiet?
I'll raise you. You don't touch a button. Anyway.
I'm not touching a damn thing, man. In fact, I'm just like sitting here doing next to nothing, almost. Pretty much, more or less. Kinda. Sort of.
We'll control it on this end. Now you can do your introduction.
Once again, without the crackling, let's throw some echo in there, just for the heck of it. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Join us in the chat room. Say hello to the lovely Lindsay Ward, who happens to be in the chat room, just like this. Hi, Lindsay. Tonight, we're going to talk about Backlash. Shit happened last night. Let's go.
Things did, in fact, happen at Backlash last night. And we're going to get the big story that coming out of the show. Brent, we have a tournament. A one-night event. The John Cena Classic.
Yeah, a kind of tournament. Kind of weird, interesting thing to that they kind of introduced here. There are more details to be determined. But yeah, it's a way of featuring up-and-comers versus some of those established stars. There is a set championship just for this tournament. It's going to be the John Cena Classic. And you also get the fact of fan involvement slash appreciation plays a role in it. It's not just wins and losses, which is interesting. I don't know how that's going to work or play out or how much it's going to influence things, but it's certainly a choice.
It's like you take Taboo Tuesday, Cyber Sunday, you mix it all together with
Deadly Games.
With Deadly Games. Never talk about Taboo Tuesday. But they create a championship for this event. I give them credit for wanting to try something.
And try to think outside the box.
I give them credit for that, and I give them credit for the purpose behind it. It's not just some additional championship out of the blue. I like the premise of you're going to take those up-and-comers, the people from NXT, those that just made the main roster, and you're going to put them against established people, kind of like what we saw with Cena's retirement Saturday Night Main Event, and you get this interplay of how is it going to work? Do you feature those, do you put over the people who have been here a while? Does someone like, is this an accolade that someone like an Obafemi gets on his way up and is kind of like a big thing for him? And again, that fan involvement thing could play a role because, okay, you may have someone like Javon Evans who loses their match, but somehow advances or still has the chance to win because he wins over the fans.
He does. I'm going to go out on a limb right now. Mason Rooks will do really well in this fan-voted tournament. Because John Cena is pumping the shit out of him on Twitter.
This kid, if you haven't seen Mason Rook, this is like Kevin Owens 2.0, where it's a really big dude who is agile as fuck.
And has a catchphrase, so going to get over.
He's got a catchphrase, and I mean, he's made an impact the past two NXTs where he's left everyone laying, and it has you kind of going, holy shit. And we've only seen two or three moves from him, but the fact that he did a cannonball with someone on his back is one of those kind of holy shit moments.
Yeah.
Because it's hard enough to do a cannonball. It's equally hard to do a cannonball with someone on your back and protect them as well as you may have, if you watched him do it with D'Angelo. Because you have the guy in the corner who's taking the move, you have D'Angelo who's giving slash taking the move, but you have to make sure he lands completely safe.
Yeah, so I think the tournament's gonna do some things. You put it, I would say towards the end of the year, maybe October-ish, one would assume.
I would say so. I don't think you do it at the very, very end of the year.
Maybe December, because when you have nothing really going on.
You may, but you're also running into that Royal Rumble build, and I don't know if you want that to happen right in front of the Rumble, because does the Rumble then overshadow it? Because someone's going to get the John Cena Classic belt slash championship slash accolade, and then in January slash February, if you do it that late, that very next month, someone's getting their title shot and their chance at and their shot at WrestleMania. And it's kind of like, oh, the Cena thing's cool, but that guy, put all of the focus on that person going to WrestleMania. So it's like that Cena championship would have like 2 weeks worth of run, and then it's, well, now it's Mania build.
Fair. So that's why October could work, with September is Money in the Bank this year. So unless you do it in July.
October seems to be the most logical place at this point in time.
Yeah, because I think they're still working out a lot of the details, and I think July would be too soon to go, hey, Here's the thing, because that's your build. Again, that's your SummerSlam build.
Yeah, that's SummerSlam, and depends what happens there.
Yeah, so I think it'll be a fun event, and I think he said it could fail. This thing could fail, but yep, it could work.
Just don't put it in Saudi.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying. I'm just thinking it could be good, could be bad. I don't know. we shall see. And the other talk about moment coming out of Backlash that a lot of people have varying opinions about: Danhausen and the Minihausen.
I'm gonna come out and say this right up front. I have been critical of certain things in other places, like, you know, specialty gimmick people and all of that. Rock knows my opinion of a certain someone. Freshly squeezed. But I think when it comes to this, I don't have as much of an issue with it because they keep changing the character enough. It's not the same shtick every time he comes out. It's they're doing it right in terms of, okay, you're playing him in front of the crowd goofily selling merch, and then you're having him involved with The Miz and Kit Wilson, and you're doing it through, like, vignettes. You're having him involved in the backstage. The curse thing is actually working because they're doing the little things to make it so that if someone gets cursed, it has an actual effect. It's not just the fact of, like, you're cursed, and then it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like,
they don't ignore it.
They don't ignore it, and it's not just one of those things of, you know, there's no repercussion. Like, we saw it in the match yesterday. The fact that the mini Danhausen got cursed and it screwed him up in the match. Like, it's impressive to see the fact that they're actually incorporating that and that it has actual payoffs. Plus the fact, I like the way that they did the reveal of the mini Danhausen, because he's been doing the whole thing of, like, I'm going to create a tag team partner. And he's been stealing elements from people, including Brie Bella's hair and other things. And he was going to clone himself a tag team partner. And I saw leading up to this, there was talk of, okay, maybe Jelly Roll will step in. Maybe it's R-Truth. You know, CM Punk wasn't doing anything that day. Maybe he would come out in the face paint, which would have been really funny to see. But instead, they turn further into the character where the machine malfunctions. And so instead of creating a full-size clone of Danhausen, it creates mini version. And he sold it great in terms of, like, the machine opens and the mini Danhausen comes out and he turns and looks at it and the first words out of his mouth are, "Ah, shit." And then he's like, whatever, let's go. And the best part is, the fans were completely into it. Like, the second that they hit the ring and the mini Danhausen started to wrestle, it was so over, and it's such an easy way for heels to get heat in that match, because you beat up a little guy, and the fans instantly don't like you. We saw that back in the day with Hornswoggle. If you laid hand on Hornswoggle, it didn't matter who you were. The second you laid hand on him, the fans turned on you because there's a visceral reaction to it.
And the best part is they tell you right up front, it's comedy.
Danhausen is, they never took this serious.
It's straight up comedy. It's like, this is the opposite of what the wrestler show is. It's Danhausen. It's comedy. Just enjoy it.
And I will say, one of my favorite parts of the entire gimmick, and this is one of the things I actually will give credit for when we talk about, like, Orange Cassidy and AEW. The entrance / exit of a person matters, and, like, the way that you handle it. And so I like when Orange Cassidy enters in AEW, like, when they give him pyro, it's one, like, half-hearted flare or fire. And you have everyone just kind of looking at that like, the fuck? Yeah, I guess that fits. Like, it works. I love that they've run with the shtick of, like, at the end of the match or the end of the segment, like, the lights are supposed to go out and he's supposed to disappear. We've seen it with, like, Taker, Kane, other supernatural style characters. And instead, they absolutely turn into the curve where it's like the lights will go out and then they come back on and you see that frantic moment where it's like, oh shit, we're supposed to be out of here. This way. And you just get everyone running chaotically off. And it just, again, it fits the character. It works so well. And it's just, it's like a little thing that makes you kind of appreciate all of the things that they're doing with this in terms of the comedy, in terms of understanding who this character is, and the fact that it's like, yeah, he has these dark elements to it, but at the same time, he's a fucking goofball.
Yes, goofball, and who's making them money. A lot of money. I was going to
say, I wonder how much of this is Hunter just like Danhausen goes up to him and it's just like, look, this is what I want to do. And Hunter can just see it and be like, you know what? Fuck it, run with it.
Yeah.
Just go with it. It's probably going to work. And if it doesn't, the best part is, if it doesn't work, it fits the character even more. Because it failed.
And the after show, when they all showed up, was highly enjoyable, too.
Oh, again, it's something simple like the post, you know, the post-show recap, where they're all sitting at the table, and they asked, I mean, that's when some wrestlers can kind of let their guard down, and like Seth was talking last night about, like, maybe I need to go in a new direction, maybe I need to change things up. And it's kind of like, you get that moment where, like, people can be a little more open and in or out of character, but it's also the fun kind of experience of, yeah, you can bring Danhausen on there and get 5 minutes of just absolute chaos of the mini Danhausens jumping on the table and just overtaking the post show.
Running the camera, grabbing the headset. What was that other one doing on the far right? Oh, shit. I can't remember.
There's so much going on that it's like it's overstimulating to see it all happen and trying to take it all in. But
it was harder to keep track of than a Royal Rumble match. It really was.
Well, because they're all active is the thing too. They're all doing a little something. Whereas in the Rumble, like if you're watching the edges, it's a dude struggling in the corner, and so you kind of tune that out of like, eh, they're not really going to go over the top. I don't need to pay attention.
So yeah, that's Danhausen. Danhausen and Minnehausen beat Miz and Kit Wilson, just for people wondering.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Coming out of this show, though, a lot of talk is, was that it for Asuka?
That was interesting. We kind of knew it was going to be the end of the storyline for her and Io, considering that a big portion of that storyline is no longer with the company.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you paid attention during the week, there was talk that they may have brought in Kairi for one last moment at this pay-per-view to kind of like try and put a bow on it all. To be fair, I'm kind of glad they didn't, because I think what happened here is a little bit better in terms of moments. And I think this frees up Asuka to do what she wants, whether we mean in ring or out of ring. But yeah, we got a really, really good match out of these two. And I know some people were like, oh, this should have been at WrestleMania. Yeah, but also at WrestleMania, it could have been swallowed up by the rest of the card. The fact that you had it as part of the five match here at Backlash meant it got to shine a little more. It stood out.
For me, it was match of the night. It was just that good.
Right. And
before you go back, with the time restraints that WrestleMania had based on other obligations, you know, ads. Yeah. They weren't going to get the time they got. They got the second most time on the show.
That's exactly what I was just going to point out. If they were on Mania, this would have been this would have been cut down to 5-7 minutes.
This got 18.
Just because everything that's involved with Mania, you have to slot it in and make sure that you have time for other stuff. And for all of you fucking stopwatch warriors out there,
where were they?
Yes. Hmm?
Where were they tonight? Last night? Where were they?
Oh no, I saw posts that were like, "Oh, this technically or this got or this premium live event got more wrestling time than WrestleMania nights 1 and 2," and they still were like, "It was only an hour and 41 minutes of in ring time." You know what? Fuck off. I'm done with these people who want to pull out their stopwatches. From now on, I want to, like, if you want to do that, then keep track of how long stuff actually runs in, like, a base, you know, what's the actual activity time in a baseball game? Not when everyone's milling around. You know, pull out your stopwatch for the 6 seconds a pitch goes from hand to whatever's in play, and clock that out, and then, you know, report the fact that, you know, oh, in a 3-hour baseball game, there was only truly an hour and 5 minutes of true action.
Yeah, don't hold back. Tell us what you really think.
Oh my god, each TV show only gets 17 minutes of actual screen time, or 22 minutes of actual screen time. Get fucking over yourself, people.
The stopwatch is away, and just watch the goddamn show.
And the thing is, yes, wrestling is part of it. It's professional wrestling. But at the same time, it is also a show. It is an experience. There is stuff that's going to happen around it. It doesn't all have to be that. Because, and Rock and I will attest to this, other places, yes, they give you a shit ton of time in the ring. But holy fuck, are you either tired or bored or just you don't give a shit after that show. The last time they put on a pay-per-view, at the time it finished, Rock and I were both sitting there going, what the fuck? Because you don't have time to breathe. You don't have time to take anything in. It's like 14 matches of just, they try to throw everything at the wall, and you just have to, you know, if you try to get up, oh, you're going to miss something. And not, and I mean, sure, you're going to miss something, but at times I'm like, I can miss four matches because they're going to be on Dynamite. I'm done.
Yeah, saturation is never a good thing. The Marvel Universe proved that when they overdid it with all the TV shows.
So going back to it, are we surprised that this is Asuka's maybe swan song?
Is it her swan song, though? That's, you know, yeah, sure, that's the rumor. But what's the validity to that?
Everyone saying goodbye to her backstage and thanking her and all the things. Technically, I can't think she's semi-retired is what the official determination is.
She's at least taking time away. They don't know how much or the overall purpose of that time away is. I will say this isn't essentially like we think she's going to go elsewhere from what I've read. It's she's, you know, if she wants to come back, then absolutely. They're back. They'll feature her in. But it's the like maybe she wants to go, you know, go back home for a while. Maybe she just wants to, you know, take a breath.
And relax for a bit.
Possibly.
I mean, Kairi left because of family. Doesn't Asuka have family back in Japan, too, that maybe she wants to spend some time with? Take a break?
I mean, take a break or just use everything. Reinvent yourself or just enjoy your success you've had because she's been wrestling for so long. Just if she wants to retire, let her retire and just enjoy life at this stage.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, I just looked it up right now. Like, we know that she's a little, you know, she was a little older when she came over to WWE. And by older, I mean by wrestling standards, not necessarily general age, because she's 44.
Yeah.
Well, she's had a hell of a career back in Japan before she even came over here. So
exactly. And so it's one of those things of like, if she does want to take time away, or if this is kind of her swan song, 44 years old is a pretty damn good career.
Coming off a serious knee injury that she had.
Yeah.
But I mean, looking at her career as a whole, it's like, yes, yeah, she had huge success out in Japan. Then she came over and did the NXT run where she was undefeated, relinquished that title without having to take a loss. And then when she came over, got featured at the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Initially on the main roster run. Remember, she got that initial Royal Rumble win and took aim at Charlotte. And we all kind of went, oh, okay. And since then, been multiple-time women's champion, been multiple-time tag team champion. Yeah, her resume, like, right now, absolutely Hall of Famer.
So, yeah, we'll see what develops there with Asuka moving forward. And maybe she'll just go have, like, maybe she'll wrestle one more or two more times in Japan, kind of have her send-off there and kind of enjoy life. She's earned.
I mean, maybe she becomes that kind of ambassador. Her and Kairi can be that ambassador in Japan if you do want to make the inroads there. Because, you know, I selfishly put it as my prediction for like year end stuff. But we've seen them make inroads in Mexico and create AAA as a subsequent brand / developmental for them. There was the talk of WWE Europe at one point. What if she still wants to be involved, but maybe not fully wrestling, or maybe she becomes like the crown jewel if you create something out in Japan to be that bridge?
And now it also adds up where now the Kairi release, in terms of a creative sense, makes more sense if the plan was for Asuka to be done.
Yeah, because after this feud, the idea would have been, okay, Kairi and Asuka, and if Asuka was going to bow out, then it would have been really awkward of, okay, now what do you do with Kairi? Cause...
So, like, all the pieces kind of fit together now. Mm-hmm. Also, on this show, Seth Rollins Braun Breaker went to battle.
Dear God, they make Braun look like a beast.
Well, they've got to replace one.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, we talked about this in the preview last week, where it's like, Braun is a absolute, and I mean, yes, I know it was the catchphrase of his uncle, but Braun is legitimately a genetic freak of nature. The fact that he gets up to, you know, the professed 23 miles an hour running those ropes, and we saw it a few times in his match where he just gets going and he hits off those ropes, and part of me is just like, I swear to God, if those ropes break one day, he's going to go fucking flying.
Yeah.
But also, just the freak of nature in terms of, there was the one spot where it didn't land properly the first time, so they did it a second time, masked it decently well, but when he pulled off two Frankensteiners pretty effortlessly from the top rope.
It was very impressive.
It was impressive, and it was all because Seth's feet caught the top rope on the first one, and he wasn't able to try and land on his feet, which is what the spot was supposed to be calling for. So it was like, you know what? Fuck it, let's try it again. And they did it, and it still, you know, came off, but it looked also in the moment like Braun just wants to inflict more damage, so he's going to try it again. It was a nice little cover, but I think they did well in this match also kind of hyping up the fact of perhaps part of the reason Seth got beat was because this was his second match in 7 months coming off of the injury. And we got that in the kind of the post-event scrum that happens where, you know, the Minnehausens took over at one point, where Seth was actively talking about, like, maybe I need to change things up. Maybe I need to reevaluate. You know, maybe I'm not Seth freaking Rollins in this sense. Maybe I need to go in a different direction.
So are we looking at him pulling a Jericho and refreshing himself as something slightly different?
I don't think so. I think we're going to get him realizing he needs friends.
He's burned a lot of bridges.
He needs to make amends with the locker room because the vision is kicking his ass.
And we've seen a little bit of that playing out when he's talking to, like, the Street Profits, who he's had interactions with in the past. And maybe it becomes more of kind of a marriage of opportunity because the Street Profits are also getting the shit kicked out of them by the Vision. We saw when Braun Breaker effortlessly tossed Montez Ford over the top rope with a belly to back. But we've also seen elements in terms of, like, that those little glimmers of, like, him and Roman backstage where they, like, run into each other and they give each other the look. And yes, there is absolute bad blood. And Roman said, you know, I'm never going to trust him again. But this is one of those things of, like, but maybe the opportunity arises for them to just, like, for one night or for one moment to be like, for the greater good, as Seth Rollins would say back in the day, we need to put this aside for the Vision.
It was brought up in chat, what if Rollins gets Oba to help? No, you keep Oba far away from this program.
You let Oba lay waste to whatever he wants to on the road to building him as the the supreme being, the ruler.
I brought this up on Thursday, and I wanted to get your opinions. Is Braun Breaker screwed because Oba Femi is taking over? Because Braun Breaker was the guy who was being handed everything 5 months ago. He was your next world champion. He was the next guy. Now you got Oba Femi standing in his way going, I'm taking everything.
I'll let Tim answer first.
No, you know, you got a beast on one show.
They're on the same. And a force
of nature on the other show. But I know, we're on the same show right now. But like you said, Rock, you keep Oba Femi as far away as possible from what's currently going on with that program, and let him run roughshod on his own. Now, do you set up a confrontation between the two of them? That could work. Or do you set it up where one of them gets moved? That could work.
I don't one think... Of oh, go ahead.
Monster... I was just going to say one of them runs as a monster fan favorite. We know who that is. And the other one runs as the monster antithesis on the other. Go ahead.
I don't think it hinders Braun. Do I think it changed his trajectory a little bit? Sure.
Maybe.
Because I don't think WWE even anticipated how over Oba Femi was going to be until he got up there. And then all of a sudden, you know, holy shit, we have something. We're going to run with this because he's got the look. He's got everything that you could want, the presence, and if you put a title on him, you could truly get something special. I think Braun, do I think it kind of derails a slight bit when he gets the title? Sure. But ultimately, I think it's a benefit to the company to have a couple of guys that could be in this role, because we don't know if Obafemi, you know, tweaks something in the next 6 weeks. And if so, well, we've got to put him on the back burner because he's out. But what that does mean is we've got someone ready to go right now that we could slot right in and take over.
Which ultimately happened because Bron Breakker got hurt.
Right. Bron Breakker got hurt. Oba was took able over. To slide into that moment. And all of a sudden, yeah, Oba looks like he's on track to possibly get a title within a year. And I don't think anyone would quite complain if, you know, you heard at the end of SummerSlam, Survivor Series, whenever, and knew with him standing there with the belt. But we've been talking also for a while of, like, there seemed like there was a bit of a valley or kind of a sparsity of some people that could be in that main event level here.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing, like, you've got someone like an Obafemi who, even though he's just coming up, like, he looks like he's about ready to either enter that or run in that kind of area. We've got Bron Breakker, who's also, like, right at that door, ready to either kick it in or live in that new house. We had someone that very night, essentially, in my opinion, cement himself into the main event picture with what he did and how he looked in that match. And so now you're starting to get these kinds of moments where you're going, ooh, we could have at least 8 people challenging for a world title at a time, you know, or within a given time frame. And you go, like, I actively either want to see those matches or I believe that they belong, as opposed to those times when we get a pay-per-view where someone's challenging for a title and we go, I don't really know, or, like, this feels like a filler, you know?
I don't disagree. I'm just looking at it going, Bron Breakker kind of lost his spot a little to Obafemi.
He lost a little bit of his momentum, but I also think it doesn't take much for someone like a Bron Breakker to be put right back into that spot again. If you want to fast track him, you can absolutely do it without much effort.
And I suggested same thing Tim was suggesting earlier. He needs to move a brand at some point, because I think the Oba train is going to take over too much. And him going after a guy like Cody wouldn't be the worst thing for Bron Breakker.
Well, I mean, if you want Cody, then you also can play into the whole lineage storyline if you want.
Yeah, so you have ideas there.
And if you keep Oba on Raw, I mean, that's not bad if you have a Roman or a Punk or whoever that can serve as mentor / competition for him. And I don't mean mentor like on screen. I mean, Oba seems like someone that actively would learn from, you know, the veterans who are in place. And so therefore, if you have someone, you have a couple good veterans that are able to, like, get in his ear and be like, hey, you had really good stuff. Maybe if you do this next time, you know, it'll help. Or, oh, maybe you should consider this or that. And I think Oba's one of those people that would kind of be like, okay, cool. Yeah.
Down the road, it makes more sense to have Oba chase Roman and Cody get chased by Braun down the road.
Down the road. Yes. Down the road.
Oh, God. Could you imagine a Night of Champions, Obafemi versus Bron Breakker?
That, no, you wouldn't, you don't waste that there.
I know. I'm just saying it's one of those things of, like, you get that champion versus champion match and it's, like, little to no stakes, but just feature if you wanted to.
Yeah, but you would have
too
much. I get
where you're coming from, but
there's too much politicking there where I don't know if you can get a good result coming out of that one. That it doesn't hurt either man.
I get that.
So
this just put it out there.
This past Friday, we almost said goodbye to the gingerbread man, but he's alive and well in the form of
Little Yachty.
In the form of Little Yachty. But Trick and Sammy went 1-on-1 at Backlash. What do we think? Go with you, Brent.
I think this match did what it needed to. I didn't think it was ever going to burn the house down. I think this helped kind of get Sammy a little more over as a heel. I think you saw the fans really kind of want to cheer Trick more and more. And you got those opportunities where Sammy could kind of take out Little Yachty. And much like we said, you know, in terms of people beating up the Minnehausens, if he's beating up Little Yachty, it's supposed to evoke a little more kind of heat reaction on him. Although sometimes I'm kind of looking at Sammy going, you know what? He's kind of justified. he feels justified in some of his reaction in terms of like the fans and under, you know, like, why are people turning against me in this respect? I get it. I kind of get it. But also in terms of just regular reaction, yeah, you're supposed to not like him right now because of what he's doing and beating up the gingerbread man. And also, kudos to WWE for just, if you're going to go ham, go full ham in terms of you have the memorial service for the gingerbread man and you actually had like people mourning backstage. You had viewing happening. I mean, this wasn't half-assed. They went full tilt into what this storyline was going to be.
You lean into it. You can't half-ass exactly that one. Like, people were complaining, oh, why are they doing it? It's like, have you ever watched wrestling?
Well,
ever.
It reminds me of, like, I mean, if you've watched wrestling long enough, this felt a little bit like the funeral of 3D.
A little bit.
Where it was like, they went full out. They had the funeral home, you had A&W, or America's Most Wanted, like, drinking at the funeral, you had James Storm peeing into the coffin. Like, it was one of those things where, like, TNA understood, if we're gonna do this, we're going all in on it. Like, we're not gonna half-ass it. It's not gonna be some necessarily cheesy funeral. It's like, no, we're gonna go all into it, and we'll have Scott D'Amore lead the service. Yeah, and as Lindsay talks about in the chat, this is the classic TNA moment, where it's one of those, like, you know what? Yep, this is TNA going, showing you exactly who they are and what they're going to do. It wasn't the other semi-funeral thing that we've seen in the past with, yeah, we're not going to go into Hunter and all of that stuff. No, just no.
Trick Williams retained his title. Right move, I think, Tim?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The right move, Trick winning.
Trick retaining.
Yeah, it was the right move. It like the match itself, filler match as far as I was concerned, but still solid. Did what it needed to do. Kept the heat on Sammy, which, I don't know, with some of the things that what's-his-name did, didn't make sense if they're trying to make Sammy full-out absolute bad guy. But he keeps pace. You know, you got the title on Trick for a while. Just recently called up from NXT, relatively speaking. And giving him all the momentum at the moment is the right thing to do. You don't want to hurt his character at all. I was just gonna say, with Sammy's full-blown heel turn, they've got other plans for him coming up, wink wink.
Well, I also think the interesting thing is we're getting a different version of a U.S. champion in terms of Trick Williams, and we've seen it like in the post show and in comments that he's made, where like we had Carmelo Hayes, we've had Sami Zayn as the quote-unquote fighting champion in terms of, like, I'll take open challenges, I'll face whoever wants to step up, etc. Trick has gone in a different way, and I'm interested to see how it plays out, where he's kind of said, like, no, not everyone should get a shot at this title. But it could also be, like, they could play it off in terms of, I hold this title in such prestige that I don't want just anybody coming along and trying to challenge for it. You need to prove that you're on the level, and then, yeah, I'm absolutely going to give you a shot at it. I don't think he's going to go full. I don't think he's going to embrace the heel side and be like, nah, you're not, or, you know, like that kind of thing. I think it's more along the lines of, you know, show me that you deserve this and I will absolutely give you a shot. And that's when you can get someone like a Carmelo Hayes back into the picture again, or some other people, and elevate the title that way, as opposed to being, you know, the fighting championship where whoever wins it puts it in open challenges and then just gets random challengers week by week.
Trick is a cocky heel who gets getting cheered, and it's working. Mm-hmm. But then there was your main event. Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu.
Jacob Fatu can go.
All gas, no breaks.
Well, this was a great main event match from bell to bell. It told the story that they set out to tell and elevated Jacob Big time.
I like the way they've portrayed Jacob in this sense of he doesn't want the title. As he said, he needs it. He understands what it means, what he's trying to do for, like, his family and everything. And playing into the fact of, like, yeah, Roman is the polished version. He's presentable. He had the, you know, he had the right opportunities. He has the look, all of those kinds of pieces. Jacob, from the same family tree, a little more rough around the edges. He's been to jail, and the fact that they talk about that. The fact that it's like he got in later, and he's had to claw and scratch his way through the independence and try to get his opportunities. And, you know, even when he gets to the WWE, it's he's had to kind of fight for what he wants. Whereas Roman, I think we all can attest, has kind of had a more of the fast track. And so, like, him being quote-unquote head of the family, it's intriguing to watch this play out. And yet, in this match, you saw the fact of, like, Roman was essentially dominated through most of this match by Jacob. And the fact that Jacob's willing to do what he needs to win.
He does.
And Roman didn't necessarily win this match. He survived this match.
Sure did.
The one drawback I would give, I think they went to the Tongan death grip a little too much in this match. I get the idea behind it. I get trying to show how dangerous it is. But the fact that he kept going back and back and back to it,
it gives you the feeling after a while that's his only move.
It was that, or it just undercut the effectiveness of it. Of like, okay, he's applying it. And after like the second or third time, from what we've seen in the past and what we've saw in the build to this match itself, it's like, if he does it enough, like, Roman should just be out. He should be done. And yet, we saw Jacob just kind of have to, like, go back to it again. And it's like, I wish it had been a little either more scarce or more impactful when he's using it.
Yeah, overuse it, it becomes less of a big deal.
But again, I like that Roman was put essentially on his heels in this match, and he had to kind of fight from behind. It's a bit of Roman we haven't seen in the past, because when he was doing his Tribal Chief 1.0, a lot of what he did was slow, methodical. He controlled the match, and we saw it with people like Kevin and other people similar size or in, you know, in situations he'd pull out the guillotine choke to really kind of put a bigger person on their heels. But it was interesting to watch Jacob kind of take control here and watch Roman have to play from behind and kind of struggle to win. It drew me in a little more. It made it more intriguing.
But we clearly set up a rematch coming out of all of this.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is one of those things where it's like, this match kind of helped show Jacob belong, and now we're going to see, like, what is that next step of the match? Is it a submission match? Is it something that's a little more hard-hitting? Because we got the regular match here, and so now it's, what's that next step?
The next step is apparently the Roman Reigns acknowledgement ceremony tomorrow night in a row that Jacob has to attend.
Oh, that's going to go well.
That's going to, if they're smart enough, go over like a lead balloon.
The one of the nice things I will say about this match that I feared going in, and I know you and Lindsay talked about it on Thursday, that there would be some form of shenanigans. We got that in a way with the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Here. I'm glad it wasn't the Usos.
Me too. I'm glad it didn't happen.
Because the second that, if the Usos had gotten involved, I think everyone would have been, oh, fuck, not again.
There's going to be involvement next match.
I don't know if they need... I get the I think the Usos are playing their role right now perfectly in terms of being, like, spokespeople or, like, communicating messages on behalf of the family. I don't think they need to get involved, because the second they do, it goes, oh, it's the bloodline again.
No, the twist would be one of the Usos actually backing Jacob.
It would be a twist. I mentioned that would be the way to do it if it's like a heel turn. You could have the Usos turn on Roman. Thankfully, they haven't gone there, and I don't think you need to.
No, because I think if you do that, then it turns into Bloodline Civil War 2.0 again. And then it becomes, oh, do the MFTs get involved? And then I feel like everyone in that grouping just gets locked into that. Whereas right now, with what we get with Jacob and Roman, like, yes, they're part of the same bloodline, the same dynasty, but if you decided to stop right now, they're not locked into it. Like, you can go anywhere you want to with those other people because you don't have the full buy-in, essentially. And with the MFTs, they're kind of distracted or involved with people like Shinsuke Nakamura and Royce Keyes also. So they have their own kind of thing going on, as well as whatever is going to happen with Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa.
So we have stuff coming out of the show, which will make for good TV as we gear up for Saturday night's main event. We got Clash in Italy coming up at the end of the month.
Yeah, some stuff on the horizon.
Because they clash in Italy, it's Gunther and Cody for the WWE title. We'll probably have Roman and Jacob again in Italy. I think we're in good shape for that show.
Would you do Roman and Jacob in Italy, or would you have that as the Saturday night main event?
No, you put them in Italy.
Okay. I just didn't know, as we talked about before, I didn't know if you'd want to put both main titles on the same show with that.
You don't waste Roman on a Saturday night's main event.
Fair.
Because he's too big for that show, I think.
At this point in time, yeah, he is.
Especially because it's a Peacock-only event where it's not heavily pushed anymore. If it was a year or two ago when you had the full media blast behind Saturday night's main event, it was on NBC and all that, yeah, you put Roman on it. Now I don't think you need him.
And also the question becomes, how do you handle Roman with not being there in June and also, in tandem with that, probably not involved with Night of Champions? Because the June build is for Night of Champions.
It is for Night of Champions. You do some sort of injury.
Well, I was going to say, if you do Italy, that could be your chance if you want to make the change. Because then you could have Jacob go to Saudi.
You could. Well, yeah, you could.
Which takes Roman out of the picture anyway, in terms of, if he doesn't have the belt, then why would he go to Night of Champions?
Right.
And it makes Italy something that it makes it feel like a big event. If Jacob beats Roman there and gets the title, all of a sudden it's, holy shit, did you see that? And gets people talking.
It could happen.
Just something to consider.
It is something to consider, but give us some housekeeping before we wrap it up for the night.
Oh, yes, housekeeping. Well, we had our usual WTR pick'ems as part of Backlash. And we had 11 people participating in this. Well, 11 entities participating. Two of them in inanimate objects. Three, maybe, if you count me. Tied for ninth place, going 2-3, so just under 500, is the Wheel of Fun, Sarah, and myself. Because I, instead of picking how I thought it would go, decided to try and pick my heart, and I had a couple matches not go my way.
That'll teach it. Never listen to your heart.
Yes, but I went with intriguing stuff. I was like, have Asuka win, have Seth Rollins win, put Braun Breaker on that road of like, I couldn't beat Seth, so what do I do to help myself get over? You know, what would happen if Jacob Fatu beat Roman, like I just talked about? Like, that would be intriguing. No, I picked those and that didn't go well. So that was ninth place all tied. Tied for sixth place, going 3-2, so just over 500, we have the 8 Ball and both hosts of CB Radio on Saturday nights, Rob and Subway. And then tied for first place, going 5-0, Keishi, Lindsay, Brock, Tim, and Tommy C. So, yep, there's our pick 'em results.
In fact, our pick 'em results. And that is our show. Which means tomorrow night, it's the Raw Post Show. Live. Whenever Raw ends, we'll talk about it. Every Monday night. Except for June, because, well, they're overseas. Thursday night, The Rack is back live at 10 p.m. Eastern to talk all things Backlash and all the news. The Rack Thursday is 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday is 50-50 for CB Radio at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. But we'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. What we'll talk about? We'll figure that one out. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday Night. Tim.
Yeah, I'm on socials. I have decided to start posting here or there on the Facebook. So you can find me on the Facebook, Tim Stein. And as always, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call them, you'll find me there at Flames Forums. Follow me!
Brent? In turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find me on a variety of social media, X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. I'm somewhat on any of those at any given time, probably making some friends. And also, you can find me on Saturday nights on CD Radio doing the Intern's Corner, where I'm giving you notable things of history, celebrity birthdays, and movie trivia like we did last night.
Indeed. Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop because hashtag epic partner. Tim, send us home.
Well, that's it, everybody. Hope you enjoyed Backlash. Hope you enjoyed our review show. And I don't know what to tell you. Go brush your teeth, watch a movie. I don't know. I don't care what you're doing, but you're not doing it here because we're done. Have a great week, everybody. See you next Sunday.
WildTalkRadio.com.